Welcome to the Amazing Gamers podcast. I am not an amazing gamer, but I know many people who are. And the goal of this pod is really to invite those people on and catch up with them. I have met so many amazing people over the years, and I really haven't done a good job of making enough time to actually connect with them and catch up with them and talk about things that you just don't talk about in other mediums. So I'm thrilled to have Maggie Jones-Lutie with me today. And Maggie's an extraordinary gaming person on many levels, introduced me to a great series, showed me around PAX last year. I'll be forever grateful. And for all of those things and more, I'm really excited that we're going to be able to catch up here. And I guess the first thing I'll do, you want to say hello though first.
Yeah. Hi. As Nathan said, I am Maggie Jones-Lutie, also known as Avenger Mags on various social platforms. But just a longtime gamer and nerd, and happy to be here. So thank you, Nathan.
Happy to see you here. So I'll tell you the story of how I started it. Earlier this year, I turned 50, and I've always been the type who doesn't really make a big deal of my birthday. And about a week before my birthday, I was like, no, it was like really 3 days before my birthday. I was like, I have a long list of people I haven't seen in forever, and I want to invite them over. And I basically went down the list, and the most important one was my best friend since third grade. He lives up in Vermont. He's kind of a homebody. You usually have to see him. But I told him what was up, and I said, I know it's last minute. I'm turning 50. Love to see you. And he drove down from Vermont. It's like a 4-hour drive. Hung out for a while. It was good. It was snowing that night.
Oh, wow.
And he hung. We had a great time. Like, as soon as I heard he was coming, I was like, this party is a success. Mm-hmm. Like, everything else is just gravy. I was like, and we had a great time. We had fun. He hung around until like 8 o'clock, like didn't get home until like 3 a.m. But, you know, I said, you know, I'm only turning 50 once. That you kind of made that experience. But it really opened my eyes. And I had other great friends who were there too. And it just really opened my eyes to, I need a little bit more of that in my life going forward. I've been so involved with career and family, and those are very important things. But I think making a little bit of time for your friends is also super important. So thank you for showing up today, Maggie.
Of course. Yeah, I totally agree. I think just that time with friends is super valuable. And so I'm happy to be a part of it.
Great. Can I tell you one story before I ask you about cons? Because I want to ask you about cons.
Yes. You've
gone next level on cons, and I totally want to hear about it. Actually, I already told a story, so I want to hear your story on cons. You did something recently that I've been thinking of doing for a long time, and that is you got involved with a con. And I kind of want to hear what that was like.
Yeah. So I guess to start, I'll just say I've been volunteering at conventions for about 4 years now. I kind of started out attending them at first. So I kind of got a taste of that. I just kind of thought, you know, I want to see what it's like on the other side of it. Like what all goes into putting something together like this, because event planning is not really anything that's ever been a part of my career. Like I'm just not in that field. I respect the field. It's just not something I've really done. And so about 4 years ago, I decided to do it for the first time at a local anime convention. It's called YamaCon, and it's in Pigeon Forge. And so it's kind of near the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. That's kind of the area. And it's cool because it takes place in December. So that whole area is like decked out in Christmas and holiday fanfare and all that good stuff. So the convention is at a cool time because a lot of folks come for the holidays, and they also just come and get their like video game and anime fix at the event as well. And so I just kind of started out as a volunteer and worked my way up into that convention. And then I also started at another convention in Knoxville called the Fanboy Expo. And so that's actually the one that I worked at recently in March, a couple of weeks ago. It was the Fanboy Expo's anime convention in Knoxville, Tennessee. And so that was a lot of fun. It's just so much fun to see people get to geek out and enjoy themselves.
Do you cosplay?
So sometimes it's honestly hard to cosplay and volunteer at the same time.
Yeah.
If I wasn't volunteering, I think I would. But I don't, I find that I just need to be as comfortable as possible. And yes. And sometimes too, you want to be able to wear like the shirt of the con so that you're easily identified as like a staff member. I mean, you have your badge and you have all that good stuff, but it's just sometimes better that way. So folks know kind of who you are, and if they need help, they know they can ask you. So I would cosplay if I wasn't working, but when I'm working, I just try to be comfortable and kind of blend in a little bit.
Well, I want to ask two questions now. I want to ask one, who you would cosplay as, but also two, like if it's still fun to be involved as a volunteer, like how is it kind of different? Whichever one you want to go with first. I'm fascinated here.
Yeah. So cosplay wise, I really have everything for a FEMC cosplay. So that's what I want to do next. And I'm thinking about maybe doing it at PAX because I don't work. Like I'm not a volunteer at PAX.
The photos. Oh, man.
So All right. We'll see. Cause I found this website that had like the blazer, and that's really, I think, the main piece that you need, right? Yeah. Like you can find like a normal skirt and shirt and shoes, like all that stuff is kind of stuff you can just pull out of your closet, but you need the iconic GeckoCon. I'm sorry if I butchered that, blazer. You need that. So I found it, and I need some bobby pins to do kind of the hair thing. But otherwise I think we're good. So I'm thinking about that, especially since PAX is in May. It's not hopefully going to be so cold in Boston this year. Like, cause last year, that Saturday was rough, man. So yeah, if it's warmer, which you would kind of know what Boston is typically like in May more than I would, but if it's warmer, I think that'd be great. So we'll see.
I've got you on the weather report, and yeah, it's gotten nicer. It's like spring up here now. Mm-hmm. I miss it. Like my whole theory on this, and I want to go back to volunteerism, is like, I didn't love that it was in March, but it's like, man, throw March a bone. Like March in Massachusetts, you know, kind of needs some help. And we had anime and we had PAX. This year, they're both in May. And May is like the best time of the year anyways. So it's like, whew, you know, but we'll get there soon enough. And I'm looking forward to seeing you there. That's going to be.
Yes.
Really exciting. And I want to know what you're looking forward to with PAX as well, because I've got my son. We're going to have a great time this year, but like, it's all new to me. It's slightly overwhelming because it's so much. And to have someone who's been there the whole week, who just knows their way around, that was so invaluable, Maggie. And I love the way that you took to Jason, like right away. Like,
oh, of course.
You did. You really did. Like you got him. And like, it was, it was really cool. And I like trusted you with them. Like I could tell you knew what you were doing, like, with him. And that was fantastic. Is Nintendo Force going to be there again this year?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We are.
Okay. All right. I'm telling Jason, as soon as this is over, he's going to be very
good.
That was such a big deal for him. And, it was a big deal for me too.
Of course. Yeah, we're super excited. I know at least a couple of us will be there because a few of the staff kind of live in the New England area. And so for them, it's not a super long trip or drive or anything. So yes, I'm excited. Gosh, I love PAX because really my favorite thing is being able to see all of my friends that are kind of like my gaming friends. We enjoy this hobby together because most of those friends don't live near me. Like we all around the country. And so it just provides a cool place for us to hang out, catch up, and then also just enjoy kind of the whole gaming experience that we enjoy in our daily lives, but together instead of, you know, talking about it over the, you know, chat or something like this, like, which is still really good, but it's just being in person is special. So.
It is. We had so many memories. We had Jason getting the Final Fantasy 14 hat. That was
yes, those hats were so cool. I still have mine.
Jason put on the puppy dog eyes, and the guy who was working the line was like, I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but he basically was like, I'm gonna drop this hat, and if somebody picks it up, you know, whatever. But like, yeah, it's very hard to resist Jason when he kind of sets his mind on something. And they had the rules with the line and everything, but that guy hooked us up. And then there was the part where we were watching the video games. There were these indie games you had played, You, Maggie, stepped up. Like, we were watching this, like, forensic investigation video game with, the camera footage in the basement. Yes. You remember this?
Oh, yeah. I liked playing that game. It was Tokyo Psychodemic. That's what it was called. But it was fun. Yeah, and you were, like, flipping computer screens and watching footage and all sorts of stuff.
And Maggie was like, there's something that's going to happen in about 30 seconds here that you may or may not want Jason to see. And I was like, you're going to be good at parenting someday if that is like in the cards for you. Thank you.
Not
another parent gets it like that.
I just remember playing it and I was like, oh, like this is like security cam footage. Like so I'm glad that like the warning, because I'd played it, you know, a day or two before, and it was fun, but definitely not for everyone. Some games are just not. I'm definitely looking forward to it, and it'll be here soon. I think I got an email the other day that said it was like 50 days away, so that's gonna fly by.
It's gonna be here. Oh my gosh, it's gonna be here before we know it. I'm going to be Sojiro.
Yes.
Yep, I'm going to Sojiro. I gotta get
your pink shirt.
Gotta get a pink shirt, some apron, an apron, and some white capris. I'm gonna love going to Sojiro. People like it when you go with like the more unusual persona ones. I had about 20 people last year when I was Uncle Dojima who flagged me down for photos. It was the most by far ever.
Wow, probably because people don't typically see that. And so they're like, yes, we have like a beloved side character, kind of not in the main party, but still a very important person in the game overall. And they're like, yes. So that's cool. I can't wait to see it.
And I had a sign that said great vegetables, because there's a very cheesy part where he says that. And and
nice.
If you ever play Persona 4, you can read my series of essays about it. His story is something I identified with very much as a parent. Okay. The social links in Persona 4 are so good. And he's definitely got one of them that really, there's some of them that just kind of like, I totally see myself in. There's probably three characters in Persona 4 that I absolutely see myself in. And Dojima as a parent is one of them. And it'll always be special to me. That's one of the reasons why. But before we move on from cons, I do want to ask. So the volunteering, the getting involved, I've looked at Boston Anime and they send out things for people to get involved. I'm like, okay, it's probably going to be work. Do I have capacity for this? Is it still going to be fun? Mm-hmm. In your experience, how was that?
Yeah, so in my experience, yes, it's still fun, because I think, and I can't speak to every single convention, but for the conventions that I have worked for, they really try to let everyone volunteering also have time at the con to enjoy themselves. That way they can kind of do both, right? So you can have like your volunteer shift that you're doing and you work during that time and you have to be focused. But then after that, you're in the con, you don't have to pay admission. Like you got in for free, which is a huge perk. And then you can just go enjoy, whether you want to go, you know, and look around like the floor with the vendors, if you want to catch a panel, like you have the freedom and ability to do that as long as you're upfront about like the time that you can work. I would say that it is good to be flexible, because you may not exactly know what job you're going to be doing, or you may have to do multiple jobs to cover like lunch breaks. For example, at the con that I worked at a couple weekends ago, I did several different things because I was able to kind of be taken away from the main job that I was doing and like help cover, you know, times where folks need to go get food and stuff. And so you just kind of have to be prepared. I mean, you will be, obviously, if it's a well-run convention, they'll tell you everything you need to know about what to do and what to look out for. But you may have like a different job, you know, while you're there, and you just kind of have to be flexible and adapt. But I would say, yes, you can definitely still have fun. You will still have fun. And another huge benefit is just getting to meet the people that you get to work with, because they're all convention fans too. I mean, that's why they're doing it. And so the friends that I've met along the way, it's been so cool. And it's so cool to be able to work together with a team to just put something like that together. It takes so many people and it's so cool to see it come together.
That's awesome, Maggie. You're kind of selling me on this. Maybe next year for Boston.
Yeah. And honestly, you could just try like, you know, a half day or something. Like, don't just commit to a couple of hours and see how it goes. And then you can kind of understand and know what it would be like, you know, if you ever wanted to go kind of all in. And you might want to, like, you know, I would also just caution that, like, it is really easy to get into that, because I started out volunteering at two conventions. Now I'm all in. So I'm there, like, before the convention, helping set up and tearing stuff down, and, like, I enjoy it all. And so they've got me. I'm like, they've like, I'm all for it now. So,
you know, I talk to young people a lot in my job, and I try to encourage them to follow their interests. So it sounds like you're doing that.
Yeah, well, and this is going to sound super cheesy, but I feel like I do need to say it while we're talking about conventions. Like, my favorite part has always been, like, even before I was a volunteer, it has always been just getting to see people enjoy themselves and really interact with things that they love. And so getting to kind of help facilitate that is, like, the coolest thing ever. And that's why I do it. Like, it's just so fun to, like, see someone, like, freak out over a cosplay, or, like, get to meet one of their heroes that they've, like, listened to in a game or saw in a movie. Like, that's just so cool. You can't beat that feeling.
I want to hear your best recent story. This is mine.
Okay.
I was playing Octopath Traveler 2, and Jason would drop in for parts of it. And about halfway through, he, like, got into it. Like when Particio was fighting the giant steam engine, like, he was all in the final end game of it, where you're picking up these notes that one of the villains wrote as they were watching you through the game. Spoilers, by the way.
That's okay.
He was reading it, and he was following it, and he was asking me about it. And he watched me beat the final boss. He watched me figure it out. And it was so funny, because I'd had this big speech with him about competing with people versus competing against. He's in scouts. He's doing the Pinewood Derby with his best friend. And I'm like, nobody needs to feel bad about how this turns out. You are competing with somebody. You're both doing your best. You are pushing each other to do better. And then when I figured out I was going to beat the final boss of Octopath Traveler 2, I was, like, this close to whipping out the bird, because I was like, I figured it out. You use a certain spell and that thing can't touch you, and you're going to. And I was like, this close to whipping out the bird. And he saw and he knew. And I go, OK, Jason, that is competing against. Like, that is what competing against looks like. Don't do that with your friends. But if it's a super boss in a video game, go nuts.
Okay, perfectly so acceptable. Yes. Oh, that's so funny. It's good to know the difference, you know, and you can't beat that feeling when you finally figure out the gimmick. So
it was rough, and it was Agnia the Dancer who saved me, who I had, like, no use for the whole game. She had one spell that the final boss really, they couldn't beat you. And I was, like, showing him, I was like, there's two types of turns in an RPG. There's the ones where you know exactly what you want to do, and there's the ones where you're not sure what you're going to do. And I was like,
yes.
When you're not sure what you want to do, set up the turns where you know exactly what you want to do.
Yes, that is such, so true. Is,
your medic can never be out of commission in an RPG. That is how you lose.
You have to have a healer always. Yeah. Always.
That's like so throwing good knowledge on my son.
Yes. Well, it'll help him in the future. Maybe, like, the struggles that you've had will help him learn and adapt as he starts his RPG journey one day.
I'm really hoping, you know, he kind of got into Pokemon a little bit. You know, he's really into Roblox now, so we'll see. But that was my huge W story, because Jason got into, and now he's, like, checking out Rebirth. He's kind of like, He's like looking at, I'll say Rebirth, and then I want to hear your story. I do, like, Rebirth, there's these moments where you're walking around and it's playing the main theme of the Final Fantasy VII, which I just love. It's beautiful. That main theme music. Love it. And then, like, Chadley shows up and he's like, well, you gotta do this. And, like, the controller is talking to you. And I was like, side quests narrated by Alexa. What is happening here? So I think the Queen's Blood tactical card game is fantastic. I'm really getting into that. But a lot of the side quests, you know, so I'm just doing what I like and I'm moving on. I'm not trying to complete everything.
Yeah.
It's a no for me.
Sometimes it's not worth it to do that if you're not like in love with every aspect of a game. Like, I think it's okay to just be like, I'm going to let this go because I'll get tired of the game otherwise and I won't finish it. And that you want to at least see the story to the end. So sometimes it's good to notice that and just be like, nope, just going to stop here. So
what's a Maggie W from recently? Can you tell me something awesome that's been going on in your life? I'd love to hear it. Besides making a difference at cons.
I think that, you know, there's been a lot of cool things happening at work, which is exciting. So I write for Nintendo Force, but that's like my fun side job. Yeah. And my actual day job is working at a county health department. And so just recently, actually this week, we did a video project because National Public Health Week is coming up. And that's a big week for us. It's just kind of it puts a big spotlight on public health. And so the past couple of days, we've filmed some videos of some of our team members about like why they work in public health and like what's the most important thing to them and like why they enjoy it. And just hearing their answers was mm-hmm. so amazing. Like they just care so much for the community and want to help people. They want to help people teach people how to help themselves too and help them find like resources to really make a difference in their lives. And so I don't know, like sometimes working in government and working in like a service job like that can be really hard. But when you hear people and like their reasoning behind it and like why they do it, it's just so inspiring. So that's like super recent. It was like this week, but like a lot of them almost started crying when they were filming the videos. And like, I don't blame them because it was just so, it's just so like touching and personal to them. And I was thankful that they shared that and were so open. I'm thankful I got to see it and film it. And it was just really, really cool and sweet.
Maggie behind the camera, making films.
Yeah, it's, well, short reels, right? Like we're going to do like little short clips. But it's just a special thing. I'm thankful to be a part of that team as well.
Anytime I work with video, it always makes me nervous because you can't. Writing, you can go back afterwards and spackle things.
Mm-hmm.
If you go out with the camera, you're kind of out of luck.
There's some things you can do in like the editing process to make things look a little prettier, but like there's only so much you can do. You can't like delete a whole paragraph, right? Like when in writing, like if you need to start over, you're just like, eh, and you can. But yeah.
Can I tell you one more thing I remembered?
Yeah.
I tried to speedrun Octopath Traveler 2. I was like speedrunning the end of it because I wanted to do a review for a magazine that I was very excited about the opportunity to write for them. And I was kind of feeling the pressure. Even after 20 years, I still feel the pressure when I try something new. And I tried speedrunning it. I wasn't having fun. And I dropped it. I got my ass kicked by the final boss. And I was like, okay, to hell with this. I gave it like 2 weeks and I came back after the review was done and I had time and it was a whole different mindset. And I took in the ending and I gave it time and I just sort of savored it. And I did it with my son. And it just was like, you know what? Never give up on a good story. Like, I think that's what I kind of learned out of that is that it was wrong for me to try. And I have a friend on Blue Sky who, is a great, I'm going to have him on this someday because he was like DMing with me. Now he's like, oh man, I'm sorry. You know? And that's like, but when I started back up, he's like, I'm happy for you, man.
Yay.
It's like, thank you for doing that for yourself. Kind of. So.
Yeah. No, I think that can happen sometimes, especially in games that can be quite long, like RPGs. I don't know. I've not played Octopath Traveler 2, so I don't know how long it is, like compared. How many?
It was 100 hours, and I used I used the internet for half of the final quests.
It's okay. So that I was like, if it's as long as I think that it is, then it's about that much. I think sometimes it can be hard because after putting that much time in a game, near the end, you're just kind of like, oh, I just want to be done. But then I think in that mindset, it's hard to really appreciate what happens at the end. Yeah. And so, like you said, like sometimes taking a break and coming back to it can be really helpful because you've had time to like do some other things and kind of like let your mind like kind of rest and soak in a little bit. But I'm glad, I'm happy that it kind of worked out in the end where you were able to really appreciate it, especially after putting so much time into it. So,
and sharing it with my son. And he's like, not all dad's games are lame. He was like,
he didn't say that, did he?
I mean, it's just implied. It's like from our generation, my generation, everyone's parents had a bunch of albums. And there's this rite of passage where the kids realize that not all their parents' music is bad. Some of it's actually pretty good. And Stella and I do that now. Stella and I have dance party. Like, mom will go to work. Mom's not really big on music around the house. Mom will go to work. I'll like put on like Moves Like Jagger from Let's Dance. And she's doing dance class. She's invited me to dance class.
That's awesome.
She's made a point of inviting me to dance class. I've watched her dance, and I was watching Let's Dance with her this morning. And I was like, if you keep practicing, you could be this good. I was like, you could do this. You just have to keep after it. And this has been amazing. One last thing. I am still working on Trails to Zero.
Yes.
I like Lloyd a lot. It's still setting up. We haven't really seen all there is to Randy and the rest of the crew yet. But I'll tell you one thing in Trails in the Sky where I really was just amazed. I think this is when the game really arrived for me, was when like Josette showed up. I was like, I'm going to get that Josette. I was like, Josette's sewing.
She's gonna be
And then like Kyle shows up and I'm like, a villain named Kyle? What is happening here? And Kyle like became one of my favorite characters. Like, I really like Kyle. He's a decent guy. He's sort of like stuck in the middle between his like big blowhard dad and Josette, who's a lot like their big blowhard dad.
He's the only one in that family that's just like, hey guys, can we like not like, let's just like put it down a couple levels, but you need someone like that. I love seeing like really normal characters in games. Like, I feel like he's very normal. And then he's just around all these crazy people. And he's like, what is wrong with you all?
I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're right. There's definitely some colorful characters. And then there's the ones who are a little more steady. But,
I was just gonna say Lloyd is kind of like that, honestly, too. He's more of like the straight man amidst a lot of chaos, and I really appreciated his character because of that, because I liked that he was very level-headed and just kind of like very empathetic as well, though. Like, he would never really judges people, but he's always just trying to figure out what makes them tick.
I love that scene with him and Randy. This is one of the last parts that I did. This part where he sits down with Randy and he's a little down on himself. He's like, you know, whatever you're dealing with, Randy, I probably couldn't help you anyways. And then he talks about what he admires about Randy and that he tells him they looks up to him, and Randy kind of breaks up that moment, you know, by like scruffing his head a little bit and laughing it off. But that's one of the things I love about Trails, is that it can be silly and then it hits you with like these heart to heart moments kind of out of nowhere.
And I would say with Zero, like, it does a really good job of kind of laying the groundwork for everything that comes in the second game. In fact, I think as far as the series goes, Zero and then its sequel, Azure, kind of do it the best as far as setting it up and then letting it all unfold. And I think Trails in the Sky does it very well too, like from first chapter to second chapter. Yeah. But I was blown away by kind of just like how everything felt very intentional in the story. So I think you're in for a treat.
Oh, that's awesome, Maggie. And intentional is the word. Like, I've said it, I posted it over and over again for people who don't know. That series does setup and payoff. Like, as well as, I mean, I love the Final Fantasy series. They are pretty hit or miss when it comes to setup and payoff. Sometimes they have payoffs with no setup, and it's like, you know, and then there's these moments. Did you ever play 15?
Yeah, I did.
The campfire scene at the end of 15 was like set up by everything that came before it in the game. And it was so powerful.
It was the best scene of the game.
It really was. So there's moments where they do it. But Trails, like, consistently, like, Trails sets out to do that. Like, the one where Agate is having the issues with Tita and the whole thing. That's when I really started to appreciate like the setup and payoff. I was like, this isn't hitting the way it is. That doesn't just happen. Like that was intentional. They did several twists and turns to build that relationship into something memorable.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I know
both English major in me.
It's true. I think when you write and when you've studied that sort of thing and you kind of understand what makes a good story, when you see stuff like that, you can appreciate it so much more because you know how much goes into something like that, like and how much thought and care and just everything that it takes to make a meaningful story. And I think that Trails does it a lot. There's a lot of moments where you're like, I know exactly why this happened, because there were like signs all the way, you know, from the beginning that were there. I just didn't know it. And then I'm so excited to replay the Sky remake because I've only played it through once. I know.
I got Estelle on my wall. I'm showing her my Estelle poster
yes.
from the remake.
Amazing. Nice. I think that it's going to be really cool to go back because once you already know what happens, you're going to see more signs that you may have not seen before. So I'm so excited to play the remake for that reason too.
Oh my gosh. And it's coming. It's not going to be much longer. It's going to be a couple more months, a few more months this fall, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fall, probably September, because Falcom normally releases like their main like flagship game each year at the end of September. I think it coincides with like the end of their fiscal year. So it will probably be like that last week of September.
I can't believe Sojiro and FemC are going to be at PAX this year.
I know.
I'm rolling with that meme. That is, that's something that I still need to order Sojiro, but I picked it out. I'm trying to see if I can go like Marshall's and get it on the cheap, but.
I'm sure you could. You know, I would check like maybe Poshmark or Mercari. I've actually gotten a cosplay from Mercari before that was just a pretty reasonable price. So, and it's also kind of sustainable because it's already stuff that's been bought by someone else and they're just kind of reselling. So
I'm gonna have to look into this. I'm gonna have to definitely look into this. I love,
well, time's ticking.
They we'll hit though. Did you play Metaphor yet?
No, I haven't played Metaphor. I need to. It's just tough. There's been several long RPGs that have released.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, but I got it. One of my friends gifted it to me on Steam. So I have it. It's just a matter of when. So yeah.
It's the next best thing to Persona 6. That's really what I'd say. It's in the ballpark of Persona 5. And I guess I'll close on this. Me, the old liar as a journalist, one last question like five times.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. I've been there too.
It's similar to Persona 5. Persona 5 is kind of like finding that hill worth fighting for and being seen. And so that other people can see who you are, and you're not like that character in Beneath the Mask that nobody sees them. They just sort of drift through life invisibly.
Mm-hmm.
I love that about Persona 5. Metaphor is like about anxiety, and it's about anxiety as a society, like the people who pump anxiety into it. And it's also about personal anxiety. There's a beautiful quote in it that said, anxiety is not something that can be blindly denied or desperately cast away. It begins with the simple fact of acknowledging its existence. And I think that is 100. That's what I love about the Atlas games. It's not just some sort of, oh, wouldn't that be nice sort of thing. I thought about it and I was like, yeah, I think so.
That's really good. Honestly, yeah. I mean, I think anyone who has, and I feel like most people have felt anxious before. And if you deal with anxiety on a deeper level as well, like where it is kind of a larger part of your life, like you can relate. And so it's powerful to see that in just a medium that you enjoy. It makes you feel seen. And that's one of the best things that any sort of entertainment can do, is to help you kind of feel like your feelings are valid and your place, like you're not the only one that may be dealing with that. So
So we're going to talk about Trails to Zero someday, and we're going to talk about Metaphor someday. This is, man, there are just good things down the road, and we're going to see each other at PAX this spring. My fingers are crossed. Jason's excited.
Yay. Oh, it's going to be so fun. You'll figure it out. I'm sure he'll have, will he like kind of come up with the idea? Is he still like mulling it over?
He'll come up with an idea when Stella gets involved. All bets are off because Stella has a closet rack filled with princess dresses. So mm-hmm. I told my mom, I was like, I'm sorry, she's gonna like rule the cons. It's just it's coming. Like it might not be this year, but it's coming.
Just prepare while you still can, because once she's there, she's gonna be in her element.
those meetups, and I think she's going to be stage managing everyone for photos. It's going to be it's something to look forward to, but doing that with my son has always mm-hmm. been amazing, and it's going to be even more amazing this year. And I'm going to make his night when I go up and tell him that Nintendo Forest is going to be there again this year. So thank you again for sharing this time with me.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a great time.